Welcome to the fourth week of our series called One World. It's about finding connection in a disconnected world. And as we said in the first week of the series, we are all connected by our shared humanity. As sons and daughters of God, we share our pain and carry one another's burdens. Therefore, we are not alone in this world. 2 weeks ago, we talked about finding the right people in our lives. We said, you know, it's tempting to stay isolated, just stick with the people we already know. But God wants us to branch out, bond with all kinds of people, step outside our cliques and comfort zones, and connect on a deeper level with the larger world. Last week was about feeding faith. We said that how healthy you are on the inside, deep down in your soul, depends on your spiritual diet, what you choose to take in. There are people all around us who are starving. They are hungry for hope and famished for faith. They need spiritual food to bring their souls back to life. And God wants you to feed them. You can be a blessing by feeding the faith of others. Now today, I want to talk with you about you are safe. We all want to feel safe. The problem is there is no shortage of opportunities in our world today to feel exactly the opposite. Insecure, vulnerable. Turn on the news and you'll soon be apprehensive about the future, fearful about what's coming next, fearful about what the world has in store for us. And if you have a setback in your own personal life, financial instability, problems at work, trouble in your marriage, a bad medical report, a child who's struggling, it can feel and seem like a threat to your personal safety or the well-being of someone you love. When that happens, that's when anxiety and fear try to take over. Thoughts will tell you things are not going to work out in the end. But the scripture says, God has your name written in the palm of his hands. Like a mother bird shielding her brood, scripture says that God will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection, so do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Don't give in to the fear, the anxiety, the sleepless nights. God is going to make everything work out in the end. Whatever you're facing, he already has a plan. He will save you with his strong right arm. He will take you through and neutralize the threat. Bring you to the other side of danger and guide you to a place of peace and refuge. You do not need to worry, and there is nothing to fear. When you are in God's hands, you are safe. And I know bad things, tragic things happen sometimes, really bad things, and not everything works out the way we like it to. But Scripture says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. What the enemy intended for your harm, God will use for your good. Think about all the times that God has kept you and your loved ones safe, even when you didn't even know you were in danger, or how bad the situation could have turned out to be. A woman in my small group shared recently that her husband fell down a flight of steps on the outside their home. It was late at night. He was coming home from the airport, just flown in from Europe, was jet-lagged, carrying a lot of luggage. And when he went down, he hit his head on the concrete, and he hit it hard. And that was the fourth time that he had fallen in recent years. She said that, you know, he was okay, had been checked out, but she was terrified about what could happen the next time. I said, think about how every time he's fallen in the past, on the ice, believe it or not, a few winters ago, out walking the dog late at night, tripped over something he didn't see, or putting up Christmas decorations on the roof of the house. Don't ever do that. Hire people to do that. You know, and this last time, every time God had kept him safe and protected him, I said, that's not a coincidence. God has bigger plans for your husband. And that's what I say to all of us today. God has big plans in store for you. He will keep you safe. When the apostles went out to preach the gospel of Christ, they were often in danger. You might think it's difficult to talk about your religion today. Back then, it came at the risk of losing your life. The Apostle Paul, for example, had been arrested, imprisoned, attacked by mobs, beaten multiple times. The book of Acts in the New Testament chronicles all of the threats that were coming against him and the other apostles. Today's first reading, for example, Paul and Barnabas came to a town called Antioch. It was in what is now modern-day Turkey. The whole town came out to hear them speak. They listened intently. They were very interested. They wanted to learn more about Jesus. But some people in the crowd did not like that. They felt the need to protect and defend their own faith, but they went about it in the wrong way. The passage says they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse contradicted what Paul said. And suddenly there was trouble. The crowd grew restless. There was danger in the air. A riot could break out at any moment. It was not safe. But Paul and Barnabas kept speaking out boldly. They knew they had a divine purpose on their life, a destiny they needed to fulfill, a mission they had to complete. So they said to the angry mob, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth." Paul and Barnabas were not afraid, even in the danger, because they knew God would never let them fail with the assignment he had given them to complete. And so they were undeterred and kept spreading the word of the Lord through that whole region, even though their enemies tried to incite violence and stir up a persecution against them. Paul and Barnabas, they simply shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went on to a place called Iconium. In essence, what they were saying was, "We're not afraid of you. We have God on our sides, on our side. We are moving on to greener pastures." The passage says the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. In the same way, there will be times when you feel unsafe, like the ground is shifting beneath your feet. The future seems to be uncertain. There's danger in the air. You will feel worried and anxious. Don't let those times steal your peace. Like Paul and Barnabas, nothing can stop your destiny. Yes, there will always be people around who are against you. Maybe jealous coworkers, something like that. Or even possibly enemies who want to take you down. You know, human and non-human enemies. Things like a bad medical condition or a downturn in the stock market that threatens your finances. Or human enemies like an angry boss, teacher, or neighbor. But the scripture says that the forces that are for you are greater than the forces that are against you. God is not going to allow somebody's anger, pettiness, and vindictiveness take you away from what he wants you to do. He's simply not going to allow that. And they'll threaten you, try to intimidate you, tell you to leave their city, so to speak, but God will give you strength. He will tell you where to go next, what to do next. Go to the Gentiles, go to Iconium, wherever he tells you to go. Every bad thing that could happen to you, God already knows about it. He already has a plan to protect you, to prosper you, to keep you safe. That's why the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 14, what God has purposed, who can annul? In other words, no one. What God has purposed, no one can cancel out. Years ago, when I was applying to the seminary, they wanted me to come out for a round of interviews and a battery of psychological tests. You know, just make sure I was a good fit and that I wasn't, you know, cuckoo, and make sure I was, you know, I know some of you are thinking, how did I pass that one? But, you know, just make sure that I'm a good fit and that I was a good candidate for the priesthood. Well, I was living in Atlanta at that time as an attorney, working as an attorney, and so I flew out to the Bay Area and landed in San Francisco. And as you may know, the seminary is located about 30 miles south of the airport. And when I landed, I decided that I wasn't going to take a taxi. It would cost a lot of money, and they didn't have Ubers back then. So I figured I'd get a head start on my new life of poverty and I decided to take public transportation. Plus, it's good for the environment. So I got on a subway out of the airport and then switched to a train that took me about a mile away from the seminary. At that point, I transferred to a bus that would carry me the rest of the way. And at this point, it was about 8 o'clock in the evening. The sun had set. It was dark outside. As soon as the bus pulled away from the station, I saw a man in the back harassing the other passengers. Something was not right. He was unsteady on his feet, slurring his speech, seemed to be drunk. And slowly he made his way to the front of the bus. And when he came, he was staggering down the aisle, and when he came to where I was sitting near the driver, he towered over me like this big bully and just glared at me. Well, you know, I did what they always say to do, just mind your own business, don't make eye contact, pretend he's not there, pray that he goes away, except he didn't. He got down right in front of my face, and he said, "I don't like the way you look. I got a big knife in my pocket, and I'm going to use it. I'm going to take you out right now. You're not going to make it off this bus. I don't know if anything like that has ever happened to you, but I was frightened. I kept my eyes down on the ground, afraid to look up at him. All the other passengers were doing the same thing. They could hear what he was saying to me. And then all of a sudden, this enormous man from somewhere on the bus, I hadn't noticed him before, he stood up. He was twice the size of the other man. And he came down the aisle, and he sat in the seat right next to me. And I thought, oh no, are they in this together? Are they going to shake me down for money? Are they going to rob me? But no, he leaned over and he said, "Don't worry, I will protect you." And the other man just kind of slinked off back to the back of the bus, sat down. A few minutes later, we came to my stop. I thanked the man profusely, got off, went across the street to the seminary, to the new life God wanted me to have. Nothing can keep you from your destiny. God will protect you from anyone or anything that tries to derail you from your God-given purpose in life. That man on that bus was a total stranger. He didn't have to do that for me, but I know God told him, whispered in his ear, to keep me safe. This is why God puts us in this world together. Not as isolated individuals, just caring for ourselves or the people that are close to us. No, God put us in this one world together to protect each other, to help guard our hearts, to keep us strong in adversity and faithful in times of fear and worry. Scripture says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But a lot of the times, God's protection comes in the form of people, other people he puts in our lives. God will send the right person to you, like he did for me, at exactly the right time, when you need them the most, when the threat level is high, the danger is clear, the risk is extreme. And maybe you could be that person for someone else. I'm not suggesting you take on a bully on the subway or a bus, but there are lots of ways to protect people. You could be another person's buckler and shield. That's what the Bible calls a buckler and shield. You could be a sure wall of protection for them in a time of distress, helping them through a difficult situation, reminding them that everything is going to be okay in the end because God is on their side. Take some time and look for the opportunities to look out for others. John chapter 10, what we heard in the gospel today are part of it. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. He says his sheep know and follow him, and they will always be safe and never perish. The enemy would love for you to believe that you are weak, vulnerable, defenseless, a sitting duck, an easy target. But you have a defense mechanism that the enemy cannot break through. You have a defense mechanism the enemy cannot defeat. When you accept Jesus as your good shepherd in life, he will lead you through the dark valleys to safety. He will comfort you in evil times. He will even spread a table of prosperity in the presence of your enemies. We are all part of his flock, or can be. One flock, one world. God is counting on us to protect each other, to be there for one another when we need them. God is counting on you to love, cherish, and protect the people around you, people in need, and maybe, yes, even sometimes, a perfect stranger. What's interesting is that sheep are naturally social animals. They stick together in groups to avoid predators and to stay safe. And when you count yourself as part of God's flock, Jesus says in the gospel, nothing, no one can take you out of the Father's hand. He was saying, you are safe.